This is the Pitch Vision Academy Cricket Show, Series 6, Episode 47, The Bubble Bursts. Coming up on this week's Pitch Vision Academy Cricket Show, we talk about what happens after the worst has happened. The bubble has burst at Millfield School. Mark Garraway is already coming up with some solutions. We also help a couple of cricketers, one who's having problems after a shoulder injury. He needs some exercises to get him back in the saddle. And another who wants to bowl a little bit more accurately, but he's having trouble with his head falling away. We're going to help him on this week's Pitch Vision Academy Cricket Show. Hello and welcome to the Pitch Vision Academy Cricket Show. This is your guide to better cricket, and it doesn't matter who you are or where you are, we're here to help you out. And we are three cricket coaches spread around the United Kingdom, but helping people all around the world. My name's David Hinchliffe. I look after things here, and I'm joined on the line, as I always am, by, first of all, the Director of Cricket Coaching at Millfield School. It's Mark Garraway. Hello, Garris.
How are you? You okay?
Yes, we're recording this very early in the morning, so I may be stumbling over my words a bit today. Apologies in advance if I sound a bit tired and grumpy.
You sound perfectly okay from where I am.
There's good reason for that, isn't there, Gareth? We've got lots on today.
Yeah, we're in the middle of level four assessments, final assessments for guys that have been through a 2.5 year course. And it's their big day today.
Well,
throughout the week. And we've seen a heap of people so far. We've got another 3 days to go where we see four people every day. And I'm on a panel which includes Kevin Shine, who's national fast bowling lead, who's been mightily impressive in the interview room, and people like Nigel Stockhill, who I work with, who was the S&C coach for England for a long time from the late 90s all the way through to 2007-2008. So fantastic to be around those guys again, learning lots as I go along and listening to some really good coaches that are out there doing some great stuff throughout the UK.
So are you the Len Goodman of the panel, Severn?
There's a little bit of that goes on, particularly towards the end of the week. I'm not sure I'm Len Goodman, but I'm certainly not Bruno, that is for sure.
And our very own Darcy Bustle, of course. It's the cricket professional at Portsmouth Grammar School. It's Sam Lavery. How do you feel about that, Lavers?
Oh, fantastic. Very nice. Thanks for the compliment.
but it's been a week of strange goings on. Gareth, I see that on your article this week, you've had a little bit of a problem with your facility there at Millfield.
Yeah, a bit more than a problem. Got an email came through on Sunday. I'm preparing to come up to Loughborough. The email came through and all of a sudden I've been told that the cricket bubble has been flattened by Storm Clodagh. So had to rush in, and myself and Dan Hallisfay were using our iPhones as torches and trying to get kit out of what was the bubble. Before it got rain damaged too much. We got most of the stuff out. Of course, the pitch vision system was the first thing that we got hold of, David, to make sure that was okay. Took out all the bowling machines and various other bits. And yes, it's not with us anymore. But in typical Millfield fashion, we're getting something cobbled together for a week or so's time, because we've got Gary Kirsten coming for a few days into the school to work with the kids and to work with people from outside as well. And we're really looking forward to that. So it's important that we get that up and running. And then looking for a more permanent solution going forward. So yeah, always an opportunity, mate. You know, whatever. I always say, don't I? Out of chaos comes opportunities.
For those who don't know, how would you describe what the cricket bubble is? Because it's quite unique, isn't it?
It is. It's basically an air-pressured facility. It was an outdoor net, effectively, a number of years ago. And the school put service air bubble over, and you see this sort of thing happening in tennis around the European continents quite a lot. So you cover an outdoor surface with a big bubble and you blow it up, you keep the air pressure tight. But of course, it's an old one, actually. You know, it's an old design. It's only a film, really. So if you can imagine it, it's like having some clear plastic inflated a lot over the top of a big area, and obviously it was vulnerable to Clodagh's gusty winds.
Yeah. And so you're having to adapt. You're seeing it as an opportunity to adapt. What's the plan for the next few weeks?
Yeah, well, we've got this sort of contingency. We're trying to build the facility back up again, which will happen. But in the meantime, I had a phone call with Steve Wilson and Dan Hellis-Fiesta, who are two brilliant coaches that work on the programme. They were out in the playgrounds doing high catches in windy conditions with some of the kids yesterday, which was just absolutely brilliant. They're on squash courts. They're on the mezzanine floor, which sits above where the pool area is. Basically, the tennis centre is fair game. Wherever we can find some space, we've got some unbelievable facilities with our hockey pitches as well. So there's always a space, and if there's always a space, there's a cricket session.
Lavers, have you ever had to find yourself adapting to an unusual location in order to get some work done?
Yeah, we do actually quite a lot. I'm probably see them as less unusual in our situation because we share our main facility with a number of other sports, so we don't have a cricket specific area at the moment in the winter. So you end up adapting to whatever kind of room you can put yourself in. So whether it's a squash court or part of the gym or the fitness area, or in some instances obviously out on the quad, which is the playground, or you even find yourselves in we've got a theatre, so you can use that space as well for certain things as well, which is fantastic to try and get your brain working on how you can adapt to the situation. The biggest test is always when you arrive at your facility, having booked it in, and you suddenly realise that there's another event on that hasn't been forwarded onto you, and you suddenly got 2 or 3 minutes to think, right, where can I put us in the school? What space have we got? How can I adapt the session, and how can I make it relevant to what we're working on at the moment? So it's quite a good challenge for you, but it's also quite a good challenge for the boys to think quickly and get them understanding how they can still benefit, because it means that actually when they go home, they don't feel like they need to be in a cricket specific facility. They can still manage to make progression at home in their own garden, or wherever it might be that they've got a little bit of space. So out of every problem comes opportunity, as you've said already.
Yeah, of course, cricket has a grand tradition of being played in just about any location where there's enough space for someone to get the ball down one end and someone to hold an object which can represent a bat at the other end. So if people can get incredibly creative in all kinds of situations, you know, corridor cricket's a classic, isn't it? Then you can easily adapt to situations where you've got a little bit more space and you've actually got some equipment there. You've got some bats and balls and other things. So it is about mindset, isn't it? And it's about, instead of saying, oh, well, nothing's gone right, well, let's just pack it all in. You know, well, nothing's gone right, let's take this as a chance to work on something that perhaps we hadn't worked on before and end up with a new perspective on things at the end of it.
And that's exactly it. And as Sam says, you know, in certain environments, you have to do it a lot. We had a great presentation from one of the candidates yesterday who hasn't got his own facility. He's picked up a lad who's just been released from a county contract, and he's done some amazing work. And in his imagery that he was putting up, they were bowling in car parks, they were bowling on rugby fields, they were doing all sorts of things. It reminded me of a Rocky movie, you know, where you had Ivan Drago in the gym with all this super duper technology, and then you had Rocky in a cabin and in the snow and doing chin-ups on the ceiling and all sorts of things. It was brilliant. And exactly the same principle again, you know, where there isn't something, you create it.
Okay, let's wrap up this section with the yes-no round. Three questions that can only be answered yes or no, no matter how much more the team want to say. I've got the questions, so let's get started. First question. Having no toss in county cricket is a good idea.
Yes.
Yes.
Second question. It's a waste of time trying to improve your reactions.
No.
No.
Third question. A rolling start makes faster singles.
No.
Yes.
Number Now we are moving on to the questions section in the show. We have been sent in a couple of questions by listeners to this show. Actually, more than a couple of questions, but we only get time for a couple. So for anyone who's listening who's sent in a question who hasn't had it answered, please feel free to send it in again. We'll always welcome resubmissions. We get many, so don't feel too bad if your question doesn't make it the first time. But that is not the case for the couple of people today who have sent in questions. You can send them in via coach@pitchvision.com, and that is exactly what Peter has done. And Peter says, "This would be very helpful information for my club, the Flinders Cricket Club, in the Mornington Peninsula in Victoria, Australia. Is it possible to send me information on throwing exercises following a shoulder injury?" He's got a plug-in for his club, which is the main thing, but he's also got a question. How can we help?
Well, firstly, welcome, Peter. Fantastic cricket club in Victoria. Flinders Cricket Club, steeped in history. Love it. Thank you very much. I think it might start something, David, sending in where your club is and where you're from.
Yeah, having
a little shout-out. I think that's something that we can encourage. So brilliant to hear from you. It's, you know, throwing exercises, following a shoulder injury. Well, there's two ways of looking at this, really. Firstly, you know, like, have a good look at what your throwing technique was like before that shoulder injury came on. Because sometimes shoulder injuries can happen not just as a result of throwing. It can be wear and tear over a number of different things over the years, but always a good opportunity to have a look at yourself. And exactly the same principle in terms of video and your throwing style as stands as you do from a fast bowling or a spin bowling perspective. You know, if you can get in front, have a look at it from in front. If you can get from a side, if you can put the two bits of footage together and have a look at that and synchronize it, then you'll get a really good idea of what's going on. But generally, people throw with their right shoulder because they don't incorporate that whole body movement that we're looking for. They don't use their legs. They don't use their kinetic chain particularly. And as a result, they have to use the last bit of a chain, or one of the last bits of a chain is to hoof it with a shoulder. And that's why we get all sorts of injuries. So, yeah, have a look at it. I've got heaps of stuff on throwing technique. It's something that we majored on within the fielding course that we put together, David, isn't it? You know, how to build that technique from scratch. So if you've got a little bit of time, have a look at that. But the other thing, and the other areas I'll talk about now, is also workload, because what tends to happen is that when people get into a throwing program, they end up throwing too much. And it's really crucial that we have some sort of guidelines or some advice to help people manage themselves through a throwing program and trying to develop that throw. And really, it's not too dissimilar again to fast bowling. And we talk about 7-4-2 in any 7-day period. You don't really want to be throwing any more than four times, and never more than 2 days on the trot. That's a really good principle. Each day, look at throwing up to but not over 40 balls a day. So keep account of the numbers of balls that you're throwing. If you feel any discomfort or pain at all, that is an indicator to stop. Don't push through that because you think that it's the right thing to do. And the other thing I would say is that when we're doing throwing drills, make sure they are throwing drills. We waste a lot of our throws by throwing the ball back in after a catch, for example, in the field. In baseball, they never waste a throw. So you see in baseball drills, a coach will be whacking the ball up in the air, the guy will be running around, catching it with the mitt, and they will put the ball down or their underarm it towards an area rather than throwing it back in, because you're never, in a game of cricket, you're never going to take a catch and then throw it in unless it's a no ball, I suppose. But you don't really want to be wasting a throw in a catching situation, yet most of our high catches are geared around bunging the ball in straight after we've caught it, which is a real waste. So just be really mindful and manage yourself through any throwing program that you have. Have a look at that course online, because there's some great stuff in there. Try and incorporate the whole body movement, but look after that shoulder.
In terms of gym exercises, or not necessarily gym, but, you know, physical exercises, levers, is there any things that you focus on for players to get those shoulders strong?
Yeah, there are a few things. The obvious one, which people kind of rush into quite a lot, is is getting on the old bands and doing a load of work on rotator cuff. So that's simply twisting and rotating that shoulder by rotating forwards and then backwards again against different directions of resistance. And that's to add stability. You probably don't want to overdo this too much. I actually remember watching a really good video which illustrates this quite well, which is one of the cricket strength videos, which you can find online very easily if you're on Facebook. The reason for this is there's not a load of room in that shoulder for muscle development. So if you do work on developing that rotator cuff with a band for extended periods of time, and you're continually building up the size of the muscle inside the joint, because that's where it's going to be, then there's not loads of room to have that fluid movement of the shoulder. So if you can try and make sure you introduce lots of mobility exercises as well as the strength development or power development exercises, you'll probably find that you'll have a little bit more benefit. So probably lots of abduction exercises and lateral raises and kneeling lateral raises, things like that. You'll probably find that you're actually going to add to the mobility. The shoulder's going to realize the line it's supposed to be taking, its movement, and the different types of movement you put it through. And then you're also going to develop a little bit of strength and stability just by doing that before you get onto the bands. And you can obviously have the bands as a part of your program because they're going to be useful, but just don't overdo them because you don't want to restrict the muscle and the joint around there too much. But if you go back, I'm trying to think when it was, but it's probably going back about 2 months. So if you are on Facebook and you type in cricket strength, you'll find a couple of the friends from the show on there talking endlessly about the S&C side of cricket. And a lot of that will be fast bowling related, but not all of it. So get on there and have a look. And we're probably going back to early October, mid-October, I think, the last time I saw a video which was shoulder-related, but that's a really good place to start.
Another area to look at when you're thinking about that area, especially returning from injury, so you're not necessarily going to be doing heavy weights in the gym or anything like that, but little exercises you can do around, well, first of all, the core, because, you know, a strong core where you can transfer power from the legs through into the arms is really powerful, as you mentioned, Gareth. But also the serratus anterior muscle, which is really important in throwing, but often gets overlooked because it's quite a small muscle. Not many people have heard of it, and you don't feel like you need to work on it because it doesn't look good in the mirror after you've done a few reps, like it does with the bicep curls. So you might want to have a look, do a search for some serratus anterior exercises to get that muscle nice and strong and efficient and doing the job it needs to be doing while you're putting your body under that pressure of throwing the ball. It's because it does put you under a lot of strain, doesn't it, throwing a ball, Gareth?
Yeah, it does, and that's why it's got to be a whole body movement. I think over the next couple of weeks we'll do some work around this, certainly into January. So keep your eye out on the site, keep your eye out on the app if you got it, because there'll be some throwing stuff coming in. But it is a whole body movement, and because of that we have to train the whole body. So if you think about the stages of a throw, you've got an element of a squat happening when you pick that ball up, and then you go from that squat position and you lunge. And you lunge onto your, you know, if I'm a right-handed thrower, so you lunge onto your left leg. So make sure that your lunge pattern works well for you. Then we push our arms away from us, don't we, to unwind our arms. So again, doing, you know, simple things like a bench press is going to be a reasonable thing to do. Doing a press up against a wall, doing press ups are a good thing. So that's a push. And then obviously when the bowling arm, throwing arm rather, in this case, comes through, that's a pull as well. So your pulls can be your band work, it can be your lateral rows, it can be your getting up on a pull-up, use those bands to try and support yourself. So if you put those four exercises together, because most people haven't got time to get really funky in a gym, but you can get these done pretty much anywhere that you go. Go down your local park, get hanging off of a bar and doing some pull-ups, and away you go. But squat, lunge, push, pull, and then obviously that core area. If you get those right, you're not going to go too far wrong, and you'll probably start to support your shoulder by strengthening everything else up.
Next question's from Gurgit. And Gurgit's got a bit of a classic question, but it's probably worth revisiting, as I know a lot of bowlers have a similar problem to him. Gurgit says, "My thing is with bowling is I can't keep my head straight when I'm bowling, which leads to wide balls or bowling all around the pitch. So is there anything I can do that gets my head straight when I'm bowling? Quite common, quite hard to correct in many cases. How can we help him?"
Okay then, mate. Well, yeah, we've got a few options, and obviously if you can have a support a question like this with video, it's gonna make it really useful, because we can diagnose the problem quite quickly. But there are often going to be a number of different reasons which could be solely responsible or could be contributing towards that lateral flexion or that head falling away to the offside, which is so common with a lot of people. There's obviously going to be that S&C element, which is kind of rolls on from what we just talked about, where we can strengthen up that core and strengthen up those legs to try and improve the body's ability to resist any sideways movement. But there'll be a number of other issues as well, which we can look at as you come through your run-up. So one thing early on we're going to look at would be how we're landing and how our alignment is based. So are those feet in a fairly straight line moving towards the target, where as you move forward and transfer your weight over your front foot, you still have that solid base underneath your action? Or are your feet slightly closed off, potentially pointing out towards the fine leg area, which would mean as you then move towards the batsman, the front foot isn't directly underneath your centre of mass, and as a result, you're going to fall slightly away towards the offside. So that's the starting point. And so often, simple things like adjusting the angle of your run-up or adjusting the angle of your jump into your landing position can have a really big impact on you. After that, we can look at other things. So is there any lateral movement in your action? So as you're actually delivering the ball, is there any movement from left to right or right to left? And in this case, it's probably most likely to be from right to left if it's going to take us away to the offside. So have a look at those arms. Is there any reason that the head is being pulled in a direction? So it could be that the front arm starts a little bit across to the right-hand side and then pushes powerfully what you seem to be pushing forwards, but if it's starting wide right, even if it does push to the target, it's going to have to move slightly to the left. And again, that powerful movement of that body, especially if you're quite tall and it ends up being at the top end of a lever, a long lever, then that can put you off balance again and take you away to the offside. So that's two starting points, which is your kind of your arms and your legs, which can very simply upset what is what seems to be quite a sound action, but can suddenly take you off balance and put you in a position which isn't exactly what you'd like to be doing. Obviously, the repercussions of things like this can be that you're going to lose a bit of pace, you're going to lose a bit of control, which is no doubt things you're already experiencing. And maybe the ball isn't going exactly where you'd like it to for extended periods of time. And it might be the case that as you tire, your ability to resist these sideways movements is something that improves as well. It's something that happens more as you go along. So that the more tired you get and the more into your spell you get, rather than settling into your line and length, you actually start to lose it because your body's unable to resist any movement from right to left or left to right. So there's a few starting points there. Obviously, the other thing that could be decreased is your ability to swing the ball, as you lose the position of your wrist behind the ball as you fall away again. So a couple of starting points there. Gareth's led in a couple more, I'm sure, and a lot to gain, though. So a really good question, because there's pace, there's accuracy, and there's skill with the ball that can be gained just by getting a little bit more balance at the crease.
Yeah, fantastic stuff, and I completely agree with everything that Lavers has said there. I think really to add a drill on top that could help in this situation is again going back to TheraBand, which was mentioned earlier within a throwing context. But if you can imagine a long piece of TheraBand, and for those that don't know what a TheraBand is, have a look on the internet. It's basically a long bit of rubber. It's like a very loose rubber band that's used a lot in physio departments around the world to help people to come back and to put a bit of resistance in. Get the TheraBand, put it around your body, and then offer a couple of steps or a walk through. Start to bowl with somebody trying to pull you over towards the direction that your head is falling. And the body will obviously try to react against that and will start to try and hold yourself upright. So as well as all of the points that Sam's mentioned from a technical perspective, you can actually put some pretty big force on yourself, pulling yourself away or towards that where your head is going, and your body will start to right itself as well. It's something that I've seen Kevin Shine talk about and demonstrate over the course of the last few days up here, and it works in really brilliantly. It's one of the best drills that you can do for people that have got that slight head lean. And I suppose for a lot of people that have got that head lean, it's a starting point, or it's a consequence of things that are happening in the back area, and there's a pretty direct correlation between the head going that way and there being side flexion in the back, which is something that we're trying to avoid, particularly in fast bowlers, to reduce the incidence of stress fractures further down the line. And this is one of the best drills to prevent that. It also helps keeping the head upright. So I'd say get hold of a long TheraBand, get hold of a mate, get him to pull you in the direction that your head's falling, and then you resist against it and you'll start to right yourself, no problem.
We tried this a few weeks ago with a band, and it's also hilarious when people try it for the first time because they just can't understand what's going on. Especially if you put a ball into the mix as well. Obviously not a batsman, but if you put a ball into the mix as well, then it goes flying all over the place. So it's quite a good fun drill, as well as one that is going to correct a potential problem.
Yeah, you're right. It is fun, and it does look silly, but it gets unbelievable results. I remember watching some really fantastic international bowlers with a couple of hundred wickets under their name having a go at this, and the intention was to prolong their careers, to get all of their energies going in one direction, and to make sure that they're not putting themselves at risk of a nasty injury. And they were a bit resistant initially, but as soon as they got beyond that resistance, they started to see the benefits, and it is a really good drill.
We've actually got some really good alternatives, I'd say, to this drill, which probably taking it back a stage previously, but we use with all the guys from the younger ones through to the older ones, which is really good for developing that stability. And instead of having a long piece of TheraBand, we have one of the big rubber bands. So it's about probably a metre and a half in diameter, and it's really useful for lots of things in the gym. But what we do is we place two boys either side of two ladders on the floor, and luckily we've got ladders drawn on the floor, so that works quite well for us. And all they have to do is walk straight along either side of the ladders without touching the ladders, and obviously this band is wrapped around the two of them, so they're both having to resist in the opposite directions and try and hold their balance and stability and keep their body in a nice strong position as they walk along these two ladders. And that works really well as an introductory way of learning and understanding that that lateral resistance. Obviously they can do that backwards and forwards in the different directions, so one's leaning left, one's leaning right, and they can adjust. And then we progress that onto a hopping drill, which again is really good fun for the kids, because all they're doing is they're developing their stability, they're developing their core strength, but they're also developing something which is really relevant to them as fast bowlers, and is really good fun because there's a load of chaos in terms of the communication of when they're hopping and trying to make sure that one isn't pulling the other one and dragging them on the floor. But there's a lot of good work in there that's relevant to them improving as fast bowlers or as general athletes. So that's a really good drill, and I actually got some couple of videos on there on the online, which I'll fire through to you, Dave, and you can have a quick look at.
Oh yeah, for sure. I love a drill. Soapbox time on the Pitch Vision Academy cricket show. That is 1 minute on the clock. One member of team gets to talk about whatever they like for that minute. And this week, it's Sam Lavery. Over to you, Lavers.
Okay, well, predictably, when it comes to the soapbox, it's something that's a bit of a bugbear for me. And for me, it's quite a simple thing today. And something that's actually been isolated recently when I bought myself a new phone. And it's the use of a tripod, really. A lot of the filming that people do these days is done with their mobile phone, and that's fantastic because the quality of the picture you can get on there is really good, and it's accessible, it's in your pocket all the time. It's something that is a great tool to have as a cricket coach anytime, and you can have all sorts of apps on it to do analysis and share the information. However, for me, it's really important and makes everyone's life so much better and so much clearer if you can have an attachment which gets your phone onto your tripod, so that when you're sending around files, sending around footage, that footage is of so much better quality just if you're having on a stable base. We talk about stable base all the time as batters and as bowlers, but get your camera footage on a tripod. They cost £3 or £4 to get an attachment to fit it on there, and I'm sure you can get one for any phone you've got.
And that is the end of the show for another week. We've got some good stuff done, but we have to go now. Before we do, though, we just need to decide on the winner of the competition. Of course, every week we give away a prize of an online coaching course, courtesy of Pitch Vision Academy at pitchvision.com. And it's for the best question of the week. And this week we had two questions, one from Peter about shoulder injuries and recovering from them, and one from Gurjit about keeping his head straight when he's bowling. Which one did you prefer this week, Gareth?
I'm going to go with Peter this week. Lovely to get a throw-in question. Fantastic that it's about rehabbing and coming back into throwing. Hopefully we've given some answers there, but also it's inspired me to write some articles over the next few weeks, also to help you out, Peter.
Congratulations to you. And if someone else was listening to the show and they wanted their question answered and have that chance to win the prize, how could they get in touch with us?
You can give us a call on 0203 239 7543 or drop us an email on coach@pitchvision.com.
That's right. You can also find us on social media. Our Facebook is facebook.com/pitchvisionacademy, and you can tweet us by going to @pitchvisionacad. Over there, you can subscribe to the show every week by going to your favorite podcast app on your computer or your tablet or your phone and doing a search for Pitch Vision Academy. You'll find us in there. Click on the subscribe button to get the show every single week delivered straight to you. And if you want to stream the show online or download the file or look at the show notes or anything else that's exciting like that, you can head over to pitchvision.com/academy and click on the podcast link there to get all the show notes for this show and all previous shows. That's all for this week. We hope you listen next week, but until then, have a good week. Cheers, Gareth. Cheers, Lavis.
Cheers, guys.
Cheers, Seven.